ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपः कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा। So today we will be discussing Bhagavatam from 7th canto, 8th chapter, 30th verse. So I'll recite the verse word by word. You all can repeat after me. Samrambha Duspreksha Karala Lochana Vyatta Anantam विलिहन स्वजिह्वया अश्रुग्लवा अक्ता अरुणा केशरा आनना यथा अंत्रमाली द्वीपहत्यया हरी। संरंभ दुष्प्रेक्ष कराल लोचनो संरंभ दुष्प्रेक्ष कराल लोचनो व्यत्ताननांतं विलिहंस जिह्वया व्यत्ताननांतं विलिहंस जिह्वया अश्रुग्लवक्ता करुणो केशरानो अश्रुग्लवक्ता ऋणकेशरानो यथा अंत्रमाली द्वीपहत्यया हरी यथा अंत्रमाली द्वीपहत्यया हरी। संभ्रम्भ दुष्प्रेक्ष कराल लोचनो व्यत्ताननांतं विलिहंस जिह्वया अश्रुग्लवक् अश्रुग्लवक् अरुण केशरानो यथान्त्रमाली द्विपहत्यया हरी। संरंभ दुष्प्रेक्ष कराल लोचनो व्यत्ताननांतं विलिहंस जिह्वया अश्रुग्लवुक्त अरुणकेशरानो यथान्त्रमाली द्विपहत्यया हरी। प्लीज रिपीट। संभ्रम्भ दुष्प्रेक्ष कराल लोचनो अश्रुग्लवक्त अरुणकेशरानो यथान्त्रमाली द्विपहत्यया हरी। संरंभ दुष्प्रेक्ष कराल लोचनो यत्ताननान्तं विलिहं सजिवया अश्रुग्लवक्तारुणकेशराननो यथान्त्रमाली द्विपहत्यया हरी संभ्रमदुष्प्रेक्षकरालोचन वित्तान्तमान्तं विलिहंस जिह्वया अश्रुग्लवक्तारुणकेशरानन यथान्त्रमाली द्विपहत्यया हरी माताजी संभ्रम दुष्प्रेक्ष कराल लोचन समंतम विहलं स्वजिह्वया अश्रुग्लवक्तारुणकेशरानो यथान्त्रमाली द्विपहत्यया हरि वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग संरंभ बिकॉज ऑफ ग्रेट एंगर दुष्प्रेक्षा वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू लुक एट कराला वेरी फियरफुल लोचना आइस व्यत्ता एक्सपैंडेड अनांतम द एज ऑफ द माउथ विलिहन लिकिंग स्वजिह्वया विथ हिज टंग अश्रुग्लवा विद द स्पॉट्स ऑफ ब्लड अक्ता स्मियर्ड अरुणा रेडिश केशरा मेन आनना एंड फेस यथा जस्ट एस अंतरमाली डेकोरेटेड विथ गार्लैंड्स ऑफ इंटेस्टाइन्स द्वीपहत्यया बाय द किलिंग ऑफ एन एलिफेंट हरी द लायन ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पज बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद की ट्रांसलेशन लॉर्ड नरसिंहदेव माउथ एंड मेन वेर स्प्रिंकल्ड विद ड्रॉप्स ऑफ ब्लड एंड हिज फियर्स आईज full of anger, were impossible to look at. Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narasimhadev, decorated with a garland of intestines taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen, resembled a lion that has just killed an elephant. You all repeat the translation behind me responsibly. Lord Narasimhadev's mouth and mane were sprinkled with drops of blood and his fierce eyes full of anger were impossible to look at. Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narasimhadev, decorated with a garland of intestines taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen resembled a lion that has just killed an elephant. Purport. The hair on Lord Narasimhadev's face, being sprinkled with drops of blood, was reddish and looked very beautiful. Lord Narasimhadev pierced Hiranyakashipu's abdomen with his nails, pulled out the demon's intestines and wore them as a garland, which enhanced his beauty. Thus, the Lord became very fearsome, like a lion engaged in fighting an elephant. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो दिस डिस्कशन ऑन श्रीमद् भागवतम अबाउट हाउ नरसिंहदेव किलिंग हिरण्यकश्यपु is one of the very important sections in Bhagavatam. This whole description of Narasimhadev appearing and killing Hiranyakashipu is been described by Narada Muni to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So, in short, Narada Muni is glorifying his own disciple, Prahlad Maharaj, as to how he was fearless even in such a fearsome condition. Currently the description of Narasimhadev, how he is looking after he killed Hiranyakashipu is being described. So this chapter actually starts with a failure notice which Shanda and Amarka give to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu gave a specific task to Shanda and Amarka that my son should be as demoniac as me at least. He saw that Prahlad Maharaj had devotional inclinations. He was not like regular sons of demon. And he thought that Shanda Amarka, under the guidance of Shukracharya, will be able to make him into proper demon. So they designed a good education system. They taught him politics. They taught him sociology and so many different things. But Prahlad Maharaj rejected all that things. And he accepted only pure devotional service. So after that, when Shanda Amarka were completely frustrated, initially they gave one chance, then second chance, and then finally Shanda Amarka came and surrendered to Hiranyakashipu. They thought that if we take too many chances, then our life will be at stake. So they came and surrendered to Hiranyakashipu, and they told that your boy is out of control. We cannot make him into a demon. Forget about we making into demon. Those people were already demoniac. He is spoiling them. Shanda Amarka were thinking that Prahlad Maharaj is doing anti-preaching. In his own school, he is doing anti-preaching about Shanda and Amarka. He is making all his friends into devotees. Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari Bhagavan ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitaya Chandra Bhagavan ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. So Prahlad Maharaj was taking every opportunity, like lunch time or whenever Shanda and Amarka used to go out of the campus, so he used to start preaching them. He used to give all logics to make them into devotees. So they thought that if some critical action has not been taken, then nothing can be done. So they took Prahlad Maharaj with them and they came to Hiranyakashipu. And they told that now you do what you can do. We have failed in all our aspects. And then when Prahlad Maharaj was brought in front of Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad Maharaj was very obedient. He acted in a humble way. He paid obeisances to his father. But then Hiranyakashipu rebuked him, saying that, how is it that from where are you getting this strength? What is the source of your inspiration behind chanting and doing this devotional service? Everyone in this whole planetary system is fearful of me. If I command, even the demigods come and obey my orders. And how is it that you small boy of just 5 years old are not able to fear from me? And then Prahlad Maharaj starts speaking about philosophy. He tells Hiranyakashipu, he gives general philosophy about Krishna consciousness to Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu thought that it is too much now to take from Prahlad Maharaj. And then we know how he indicated towards the pillar that is your God present here. So he actually was showing towards a dead object, and he was indicating, is God dead? Can't he come out and fight with me? And especially this Narsingdev's pastime is special again, is because we see that in many incarnations, whenever God comes, he takes little time to execute his mission. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that yada yada dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srajamyam paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma sansthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So Krishna comes for this, but when actually Krishna came, he was more enjoying his pastimes in Vrindavan. Every now and then the demons used to come, but his main purpose of killing Kamsa was getting delayed and delayed. He was happily playing with his friends. He was doing Ras Leela. He was doing different pastimes with his friends. And finally, Narad Muni himself thought that now I have to accelerate the pastimes. Kamsa will not come to Vrindavan. Krishna will not leave Vrindavan. So something has to be done. So he went and told Kamsa that whom you are looking for through all these demons is actually Krishna. Just to accelerate that Krishna go and kill the demon. But Narsingdev in that sense is special because as soon as he appeared, he was on task. We see that just few verses before he appeared, and within few verses he killed Hiranyakashipu. He did not took much time. He was actually on task. For a specific task he came, he was working on that. And now, Narad Muni is actually giving some examples of how the fighting was taking place. One example he gave was lion and elephant fighting. Generally, elephants are actually very strong, very powerful. But elephants cannot run around here and there very quickly because of their heavy weight. And that is the reason when they fight with lion, even if elephant strikes lion little strongly, the lion can easily run away and come back and attack. And another advantage lion has is that he has sharp teeth with which it can attack elephant. Whereas elephant has only the tusk, and then it tries to attack or capture the lion with the tusk, which is difficult. So although elephant is, in physical size it is a little bigger, but then when it attacks the lion takes every opportunity, and finally actually lion kills elephant. Now, in one of the lecture I heard that elephant actually signifies Mayavad philosophy, and lion signifies Vaishnava philosophy. That is the reason when we speak about Vaishnava Acharyas, we say he is Simha Guru. Because he has defeated all kinds of Mayavad philosophy. That's why even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada used to be called as Simha Gurus. And that's why we call it as Simhasan, like that. So now here Narsingadev, taking a special form of half man, half lion, has killed Hiranyakashipu. And now his form and his action is being described by Narada Muni to Yudhishthira Maharaj.
Now, what is this form?
So, this form, what we see in our altar here is similar. So, Hiranyakashipu is killed now by the nails of Narsingadev. And Narsingadev has pulled out some of the intestines and garlanded himself. And the drops of blood are on the mane and face of the Lord. So to say, it is a very fearful situation. Generally, whenever we see blood or somebody is being killed, it is a very fearful situation. But then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes something very interesting. He says, the hair on Narsingadev's face being sprinkled with the drops of blood was reddish and looked very beautiful. So something very fearful and beautiful can only be with Narsingadev. When Arjuna saw the universal form of Krishna, he definitely told that it is very fearful, but he did not say that it is beautiful. He said that I am very fearful of seeing so many warriors fighting in this battle of Kurukshetra are entering your mouth and blood is coming out. The universal form of Lord was chewing these warriors and blood was like, you know, coming out of the mouth of universal form of Lord. And Arjuna became fearful and there is no beauty described there. It is only horror. But here in the case of Narsingadev, beauty is also described because Prahlad Maharaj is enjoying this. Although his own father is being killed, Prahlad Maharaj is enjoying that how Narsingadev has taken special form to deliver my father. So that's why the beauty has been described. And of course our acharyas also comment that a tiger's face, imagine we all are sitting and suddenly a tiger comes in the hall. None of you will remain in the class. All of you will be back to ashram or wherever there is safety. Right? Because the mere word of tiger, tiger's presence creates fear. But then our acharyas say that a face of a tiger or a she tiger may be very fearful, but her own cubs don't fear from it. In fact, they go towards the tiger and they lick the face. They enjoy licking the face, although it is very fearful. So similarly, although the devotees of the Lord, even if Lord presents a very fearful form, especially in the case of Narsingadev, the devotees of the Lord relish it. The more Lord presents anger, the more devotees become happy. Because actually by that anger, Lord is actually protecting the devotees and killing the demons, which is the main purpose of Lord's incarnation. So here, the beauty of Narsingadev is further enhanced when Narsingadev is actually wearing the garland of Antramali. The Sanskrit word exactly says Yathantramali. Antra means the intestines. So intestines are actually a dirty object in the body. Actually the whole body is dirty. As such there is nothing so beautiful about body. But especially the intestines is dirty because after whatever we eat, the transformed food, you know, passes through intestines. And such a dirty object, Narsingadev is taking and putting on himself voluntarily. And here in purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Lord Narsingadev pierced Hiranyakashipu's abdomen with his nails, pulled out demon's intestines and wore them as garland, which enhanced his beauty. So now someone wears the garland, it enhances his beauty. So Lord Narsingadev is wearing garland of intestines. And how is that? It is enhancing the beauty. So now, of course, this is again from a lecture. Now, Narsingadev was thinking that this is the intestines through which generally the semen passes through before it gets into the womb. And biologically, Prahlad Maharaj would have passed through the same intestine. And Narasimhadev was very happy in wearing that because that was the place where my devotee was residing, rather, in some form or other. And that's how actually Narasimhadev was relishing the whole thing of killing Hiranyakashipu and fighting the whole thing. And fighting of Narasimhadev and Hiranyakashipu, it is very shortly described in Bhagavatam, but in other Puranas it is also described in an elaborate way. And yet another example which Narada Muni is taking to explain this fighting is a fight of a Garuda and a snake. So Garuda, when it fights with the snake, it actually, with his sharp beak, it captures Garuda, captures the snake. And when it slightly hits the snake, any snake, when it is slightly been disturbed, it starts hissing more and more, trying to attack the opponent. But snake cannot attack Garuda. The reason is, Garuda is like, it is like king of the birds, very strong, and it can fly. Snakes cannot fly. So when there is a fight between Garuda and a snake, it is obvious that Garuda will win. So when such fight takes place, Garuda actually enjoys inciting snakes by giving bites every now and then. So Narasimhadev was also doing like that. He was attacking Hiranyakashipu very strongly, and Hiranyakashipu used to get smashed either by the club or by the hands of the Lord, and then Narasimhadev used to release him for some time, kind of to relax, to regenerate his energy and come back and attack. And when such thing used to happen, Hiranyakashipu used to delight, saying that, see, now even Vishnu is doubting how to attack me. And when actually Narasimhadev used to fiercely attack, Hiranyakashipu used to close his eyes, like a foolish person. Sometimes when we just don't know what to do, we are just beating in the air, we just close the eyes and fight. So sometimes Hiranyakashipu used to do that also. And all this battle is being watched upon by demigods. And the demigods had a very mixed kind of feeling about whole of this pastime. They were thinking that in case if Hiranyakashipu wins, now we have already lost our posts. And if by chance Narasimhadev is killed or he is imprisoned, then we will lose our life. Somehow Hiranyakashipu has spared our life. He has only taken our seats. We are somewhere here and there, like refugees staying in some places, some corner of Brahmaloka or wherever, we don't know. So if Hiranyakashipu wins, then we will lose our life. But if Narasimhadev wins, they are delighted because they will get back their posts. So both different kinds of feelings demigods were having. And they had great difficulty in expressing their feelings. So they were hiding behind the clouds, safest place. Just keep watching, and after the whole thing, we will see what best can be done. They were just watching the match. So now, as the fight goes on, just in a previous verse, when Narasimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, Prabhupada writes in the last line of previous purport, he says, Narasimhadev paradoxically, what he says? Lord Narasimhadev paradoxically but very easily killed the great demon Hiranyakashipu. So killing Hiranyakashipu involved many conditions. From the side of Hiranyakashipu and the side of course, Brahma's benediction, both together, had conditions, neither inside, neither outside, neither on the ground, neither in the air, nor in the daytime, nor in the night time, and all that thing. Neither by weapon, and all that thing. So Narsingadev, in a very easy way, just by nails, if we can do something by nails, it means that it is very insignificant thing for the Lord. So Lord was proving that killing such a great demon, in fact the introduction of Hiranyakashipu is like king of demons. So Narsingadev is telling that to kill such a great demon, it's actually insignificant thing for me. So Hiranyakashipu actually signifies soft bed and wealth, attachment for wealth. So those people who are very attached to the sense gratification, Narsingadev is giving an indication that these all things can end within a fraction of moment. When even we cannot think. Generally death snatches away all that thing, but even otherwise, the pursuit of sense gratification which a person is carrying in his life can end at any time. A wealthy man can become a pauper sometimes in a very fraction of seconds. Even in the history we have seen it happening. So that's how Narsingadev has actually killed Hiranyakashipu, and now he is expressing something. He has opened his mouth very wide. The verse says, Vyatha Anantam. So the simhas can open their mouth very wide, wider than generally what an animal can do. And he is licking his own mouth with his sharp tongue. When Narsingadev appeared, in two verses, the form of Narsingadev was described. And when such description came, it was described that the tongue of Hiranyakashipu, the tongue of Narsingadev, was like razor sharp. And he was licking like this, from this end to this end. And he is like actually, expressing that, I have finished him. After achieving something, he is expressing it, I have done it. So such an expression actually attracted Prahlad Maharaj and all the demigods. Now in further to this, we will see that after Hiranyakashipu killed, he continues to be angry for some time. Generally after a demon is killed, after our enemy is killed, the anger easily subsides. But Narsingadev exhibits his anger. He pulls out the intestine. He goes and sits on the throne of Hiranyakashipu. And he proves that it's actually I am the enjoyer. Bhoktaram yagya tapasa sarva loko maheshwaram. And he proves that anyone who is against my devotees or devotional service, I don't spare them. I may give them little bit time, but I will eventually finish them, like he has done for Hiranyakashipu. So then he maintains his anger for till the time all these people who were watching from the sky, when they were like fully confirmed ki Hiranyakashipu mar gaya, till the time the news was not out, they were waiting, and after the whole thing got confirmed ki Hiranyakashipu is actually dead, and now we can be very happy to get back our possessions. So they all came down, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, who were watching. They all came down and they were offering prayers to Narsingadev for such a wonderful feat of killing Hiranyakashipu. So each one of them, we see that Brahma is offering prayers, Shiva is offering prayers, Kimpurushas, Gandharvas, and different lokas and different demigods are coming and offering prayers. And it is clear that even then Narsingadev was still angry. He is exhibiting his anger still. Even Lakshmi ji was little bit fearful then to go ahead and offer prayers. And then in the next chapter we see actually when Prahlad Maharaj comes and offers prayers, then Narsingadev shows his smiling face. That is also beautiful. His angry face is also beautiful. His smiling face is also beautiful. So in that way Narsingadev killed Hiranyakashipu. And of course, after killing Hiranyakashipu, he also did killing all his associates, which is also described in further verses. So all these associates were also of opinion that, you know, if not Hiranyakashipu alone, let us all try. And again, Narasimhadev exhibited another form of manifesting thousands of hands. And again, he was using the same nails. You know, with his nails, he was just pinching, like how we kill sometimes mosquitoes. He was just pinching and killing all these demons. So that's how Narasimhadev appeared and killed Hiranyakashipu, which signifies Lord's protective nature towards his devotees. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Name Bhakta Pranashyati. He says that those promises which I may give, I may sometimes get back from it. But for a devotee, to protect a devotee, I can do anything. Whole Puranas are exemplified of how Krishna protects his devotees. When Krishna was personally present, he protected Draupadi, he protected Pandavas. Even in other times, Krishna protected Gajendra. He protected various devotees at various times. So that is one thing which Krishna will never fail. Protect his devotees. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushyatam. So to destroy demons, sometimes he may send some demigods. But to protect his devotees, he actually personally comes all the times to make sure that his devotees are, and even by chance, are not baffled by these demons. So that is the special significance of Narasimhadev, appearance of Narasimhadev and killing of Narasimhadev. So with this, I would like to stop. If anyone has any questions or any comments, you can ask. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. For Lord Buddha, we can say the same thing, yada yada hi dharmasya gnanir bhavati. And secondly, those who are practicing dharma are the kam moksha, as per the Vedic injunction. Are they called demon?
Okay.
Because it is here again and again stated that they were practicing dharma are the kam moksha teaching. So okay. They are not at this demon, they are righteous people in mode of goodness.
So Prabhuji has two questions. One thing is yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujamyaham. So is it applicable to Lord Buddha also? Now, so to say, Buddhist philosophy and Krishna conscious philosophy are, diametrically opposite. They completely repel each other. It's like India and Pakistan. They are completely opposite to each other. It's like if you catch a person and kill him with a very huge bomb. So Buddhist philosophy is like that. Whenever, and Krishna conscious philosophy is the other side. So Buddhist philosophy has to be corrupt. It is completely atheistic. So yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata is not applicable to Lord Buddha. Buddha came for a specific purpose of promoting non-violence. But in the guise of promoting non-violence, it has actually promoted atheism more than promoting non-violence. Because even in modern times, we see Buddhist preachers have resorted to some kind of meat eating. That is there. But their Buddhists are essentially atheistic. So even that's why even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, he had an argument with Buddhist in Nagapattinam. And we saw that when after the whole argument got over, Buddhists were so opposed to Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, that they came up with a filthy thing to feed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we saw that the bird, of course Paramatma inspired that bird to lift that big plate and head, on head hitting that Buddhist monk. So it is dead against Buddhism. So it's not applicable. Only Buddha came for a different purpose, and it's not applicable that it has established any kind of religion.
Same thing about Parshuram?
No. Parshuram, it is applicable.
Parshuram is...
Parshuram, Parshuram signifies that when Kshatriyas become unrighteous, then Brahmanas can take up a job to set right the Kshatriyas. But in terms of doing that, he did overdoing. But yes, definitely established religious principles. That is right. Now your second question was, those people who are following dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So this Shanda and Amarka were actually teaching dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And Prahlad Maharaj rejected that. We will see that in 6th and 7th chapter of this 7th canto. That how Prahlad Maharaj rejected dharma, artha, kama, moksha and accepted pure devotional service. That is, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, all that thing. So now those who are practicing dharma, artha, kama, moksha, what is their motive? That we have to see. If the motive is sense gratification, it is actually also, you know, based on sense gratification. Dharma, artha, kama. Kama means sense gratification. So it is demoniac. The idea is that I am the enjoyer. I am the doer. So that demoniac tendency is there in dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So Prabhupada says in places that there are only two classes of people. Devotees and demons. So those who are not devotees, by default they fall in the category of demons. Now of course in demons also there may be gradation. Chota demon, thoda bada demon and all that thing. But they are demoniac. The tendency of thinking that sense gratification is my goal is demoniac. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha comes in demoniac. Yeah. Okay. So blood was actually sprinkled like drops. He was not from after he killed. You know, blood is there in the body. If you pierce the blood, it comes out. So it splashes. So it was some few drops were on his face, and it was actually decorating the beauty of Narasimhadev. And he was licking after the lion finds out its prey. And it is there in front. It licks. As an expression of killing that person. No. He was just licking as an expression of his killing Hiranyakashipu. I mean, specifically it is not described that he is licking blood at least. He was licking his own mouth from one corner to another. So it is an expression of joy of Narasimhadev that, okay, I have killed Hiranyakashipu. Okay. So Buddha's philosophy, Buddha appeared for a specific purpose of promoting non-violence. But the philosophy which Buddha resorted was atheistic. And completely atheistic. There is no element of existence, Shunyavad. So Krishna conscious philosophy or religion is completely opposed to Buddhist. So Buddha's appearance cannot be called an appearance for establishing religion, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Dharma sansthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So Buddha's incarnation doesn't come under that. Yeah, so there are two Buddhas, one in purport in probably first canto, third chapter, where various incarnations are mentioned. Prabhupada also mentioned that one of the purpose of incarnation of Buddha was to bewilder those people who are going to different planets. So from that we understand there were two Buddhas. But I am speaking about the Buddha which was who appeared in Nepal 2000 years back. Yes, Ravi. Yes, Ravi.
Hare Krishna. I'll make a comment on this, that Buddha, the true followers of Buddha, they cannot eat meat, fish, eggs. Because Buddha demonstrated philosophy, Ahimsa Parmo Dharmaha. So actually, who are eating meat, they are not the follower of Buddha. They are bogus.
Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Ram Babu Yadav.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Ram. What is the difference between Buddha and Krishna philosophy? Buddha saying and floor of peace, non-violence, but Krishna logic is war and peace. What is the difference between that philosophy?
Okay. So thanks. Prabhuji's question is, what is the difference between Buddha's philosophy and Krishna's philosophy? So Buddha's philosophy is, ultimately everything is shunya. Now, they accept that there is a karma of a living entity, and by doing certain meditations, by nirvana, the living entity will cease to exist. Uska astitva khatam ho jata hai. That is called as nirvana. But Krishna's philosophy is not that. Krishna says that the soul eternally lives. In Bhagavad Gita 2nd chapter he says, Natvevaham jatunasham natvam neme janadipa na chaivana bhavishyama sarve mataparam. So soul never cease to exist. Krishna says that the ultimate thing is you surrender to me and come to me. So there is eternal place where Krishna lives and enjoys, and the living entity's ultimate goal is to reach that. But Buddha's philosophy says that by practice of all the meditation, ultimately we should cease to exist. So that is the essential difference between Buddha's philosophy and Krishna's philosophy.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Krishna is propagating violence when it is needed. Through Bhagavad Gita he is teaching, because sometimes peaceful arguments don't give solution. So sometimes violence is required. That's what Krishna is also preaching.
Hare Krishna. In Brahma Samhita it is mentioned that Yat Pada Pallava Yugam Vinidhaya Kumbha. So we say that Ganesh ji is Vignaharta and he is getting his power from Narasimha Dev. But in this verse it is not clearly mentioned Narasimha Dev. Where it is exactly, how we refer that he is getting his power from Narasimha Dev?
Okay. So Ganesh ji as a Vignaharta gets power from Narasimha Dev, and how Narasimha Dev is doing that, I don't have a Shastrical reference for this. Probably in some Purana it might be there, but I am not sure about that. Because this particular Ganesh is actually 400 Ganesh. The current Ganesh which we are living in is 400 Ganesh. And he is a liberated person. He is also a pure devotee. Like all demigods are not pure devotees. Only few, like Brahma, Lord Shiva. And Ganesh is also counted amongst those pure devotees. So specific function of Ganesh is to remove any kind of vignas in any kind of sacrificial performance. So this Ganesha is an eternal resident of Vaikuntha. So that much I know. But how he gets his power from Narasimha Dev, I don't have a Shastrical reference for that. Yes, Prabhu. One last question.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, in Bhagavatam it comes that Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavitarya Saroja, that whatever form a devotee meditates, the Lord appears in that form. So in this pastime of Narasimha Dev, one reason we find that the Lord appeared in that form because of the conditions put by Hiranyakashipu. So Lord has to fulfill that condition, so he took a form of half man and half lion. And when we see Prahlad Maharaj devotional service, so Prahlad Maharaj is famous for Smaranam, like everybody is famous. So is that while rendering the devotional service in Smaranam, he was already meditating on the form of Narasimha Dev, and because Narasimha Dev appeared in that form, or Narasimha Dev appeared because the conditions put by the Hiranyakashipu like that? Because that situation is like, it says, Asse Shutikshita Pato, whatever. Like the devotee hears about the form of the Lord and he meditates. Because Narasimha Dev's form is eternal.
Yeah.
This means
Prahlad Maharaj should be already meditating on Narasimha Dev's songs, and that's why he appeared. Or if we say he only appeared because Hiranyakashipu put a condition, this means it appears like, you know, the Lord originated some new form just to fulfill that condition. So how to understand?
Now the specific verse which speaks about Narasimha Dev's appearance, it says that this form was never seen before in the Bhagavatam. Now definitely Narasimha Dev is eternally existing in Vaikuntha, the Vaikuntha planet. But I have heard that Narasimha Dev, when he came here, he came with an 8-handed form. So that is the reason why it is specifically called as never seen before form. That is one reason. Now Bhagavatam only says that just to keep the words of his devotees, Narasimha Dev took this form. So now this can refer to both words of Brahma ji and the words of Prahlad Maharaj in the reference to that even this pillar Lord is residing. Now in the Bhagavatam also we see that Prahlad Maharaj also offers prayers sometimes to Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj is definitely cognizant of various forms of Krishna or Lord Narayana. But being an eternal resident of Narasimha Dev's planet, Prahlad Maharaj's Ishtadev, you know, the specific form which he likes is Narasimha Dev. So definitely he was meditating on that. So from one view it is also a leela, because Hiranyakashipu is also a devotee, Prahlad Maharaj is also a devotee, but Hiranyakashipu is just playing some role so that he can get over his job and go back also to Vaikuntha. So all these things are there, but specifically this is because of Brahma's benediction of different conditions which Brahma granted for Hiranyakashipu. Okay, so thank you very much. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, it's a comment on Lord Buddha.
Yeah.
What I heard is that the Karma Mimamsa Brahmanas has gone beyond religious principles. And Lord Buddha, he preached a temporary religion to re-establish the Dharma of Ahimsa.
Yeah.
So in that sense, so he didn't preach Sanatana Dharma, but he gave the basic Dharma, which is Ahimsa. So in that sense, say that Lord Buddha, he comes to establish religion for a particular class of people. But ultimately what he gave, it was a temporary religion, so therefore it doesn't last. And therefore the Buddhists today, they become meat eaters. But he achieved his purpose.
Okay, in that sense it can be thought of, but I mean, as far as I understand, even while doing the so-called non-violence, the promotion of non-violence, the philosophy, that is more important. How you you may have spoken it for purpose of non-violence, but the thesis cannot be changed. He changed the thesis. He rejected Vedas completely.
Yeah,
so Chaitanya Charitamrita Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says they are Nastics.
Yes.
Vedana mane bodha hoila Nastics.
Yeah, but that was a strategy for a particular class of people.
Yeah, for some time.
Yes. So it's just the point about whether he came to re-establish religion. So definitely he came to re-establish religion in the sense that the Karma Mimamsa had gone beyond religious principles. So yes, he came to re-establish that one principle. But it's temporary. It's not the ultimate.
I mean, it can be seen in that sense. But to say that non-violence as a subject cannot be called as a religion. I mean, religious principle. No.
One of the four pillars of Dharma.
Yeah.
So it is the religious principle. It's one of the four pillars.
Yeah, it is a
But it is not pure devotional service.
Yeah, it is not pure devotional service.
Yes. So, but in that sense, morality.
In that minute sense, it can be seen in that way. That's what. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki, Gaur Premanande.